Hello and welcome to another Scots Way Hey podcast. And today I'm joined by the co-producers of Edinburgh Tradfest, Douglas and Jane Anne. Hello both.
Hello,
Hi, how are you?
hiya.
I'm really well, thanks. I'm really well. Before we talk about this year's festival, can one of you give us some of the background to it, if that's possible?
Well, we've been putting on music, or I have for about 20 years in Edinburgh. Jane Anne joined me about 12 years ago or thereabouts. Occasional concerts, quite then they became more and more regular. We set up Soundhouse as a charity just over 10 years ago. And a couple of years later, we were invited by Trax, who were running Edinburgh Tradfest, to programme most of the music in Tradfest when it came round each year. We did that for, what, three, four Tradfests?
Four, I think.
Four. For about four Tradfests. And then Trax lost the funding for Tradfest. Their funding was cut. And they do two festivals, one a storytelling festival and the other one was Tradfest. And they're based in the Storytelling Centre, and there is only one storytelling festival, so it was a difficult choice, but a fairly obvious one that they had to keep doing the storytelling. So we've always believed that Edinburgh needs more live music rather than less. So one less festival was going to be just further compound Edinburgh's, lack of live music. So we said, do you mind if we take it on? Which we did. We applied for funding from Soundhouse and were...
Great Scotland.
Yeah, from back, yeah, as Soundhouse from Create Scotland. Found additional funding from the William Grant Foundation, as of Glenfiddich and all that sort of stuff. So, so we put on the festival in 2019. Very much concentrating on music. It'd been much more diverse before, but music's what we do. So we kind of we sort of narrowed it down a little bit into the sort of music side of things. And then of course COVID hit. So for 2 years we couldn't do a big public festival. So we did other things instead. We did podcasts and we recorded bands, sort of six camera setups, Soundhouse Spotlight series, which were very high quality. I used a great video maker, Sandy Butler, who does a lot of stuff for Green Polwart, the Scottish Chamber Orchestra and stuff.
Right.
So those were high quality. We didn't really want to just try and do the kind of a lot of the live stream stuff that was going out with somebody sitting with a strong light behind them, strumming a guitar and the phone propped against the toaster. We kind of had to do it a bit better than that. And it also meant that the bands had material coming out of lockdown that they could use. They had high quality footage. Very high quality recordings as well that were professionally mixed. They had that material, so there was two reasons for doing it. Since then, obviously, COVID has subsided, though not gone away, and we've been back on for Tradfest the last few years since then. So each year it gets better and bigger and better, and it's certainly well established now in the scene.
I should add something to what you said about the music is that we do see it as predominantly music festival. That's what we know about, but Trax, through the Storytelling Centre, are still in there, and they basically supply all the storytelling events, and we have the Folk Film Gathering, which for the first time since lockdown is back in step with us this year, so we really are back to sort of 2019 power and some, because we've increased what we've done since then by quite a lot over those last few years.
It's really impressive to think that, you say you really kind of took the reins in 2019. And then, of course, we had the COVID years, because this is, I should say, it runs between the 3rd of May and the 13th of May. So, it's a fairly sizable festival and the programme is fantastic. The bands you've got, and it, as you say, it's not just live music. I think people, myself included, you think, okay, Tradfest, this is going to be traditional music festival. You've got so many other strands going on. You've got film, as you say, which will go into a little bit more, but you've got workshops, talks, Cayleys, other events. There are various things which jumped out at me when I was reading the press release. Can you just maybe go through some of the programme? I know that's quite a big ask because there's a lot going on, but... just maybe take us through some of it.
Well, I could start with opening and closing, because that's something that's slightly different this year, is that We are one of the things we wanted to do when we took it over was to have a big opening night, which is something they didn't have before. And obviously it was all in reasonably small venues, so you know we need to look at a bigger venue. And for the first time actually since 2019, we are back in the Queen's Hall for our opening night, which is a three band total spectacular. We have Josie Duncan opening. Then we have the Ascent Trio, which is fiddle, pipes, and guitar. And then following that, Valtos, who are probably one of the biggest rising stars of traditional
Yeah.
music in Scotland. So we're super happy to have twisted those guys' arms and come down from Skye and play for us. But this year also, we have a very big closing night. So the Assembly Rooms, we have Julie Fowlis, who's obviously a national treasure. And she is enjoying a very interesting opening act, Laura Wilkie and Ian Carr, who have a new album out of traditional Gaelic songs not sung.
Yeah.
So it's a really, I've actually heard that album and it's really amazing. And I think that Julie actually helped Laura along the way. So it's a really nice pairing for that closing concert. So those are two really big highlights this year. I don't know
In
where else to go.
between, we've a mixture of like all ages performers, people that we've never actually seen play before, not very many, but some of those, but also people like Martin Simpson, who we've put on countless times before, you know, old favourites or the Nordic Fiddlers Block, we're well familiar with giving them a gig. So, yeah, all sorts of things, you know.
Should say that people, if they really, to really digest the full program, they should go to your website because that, has it all the details. And there's a few things which really, I immediately went, wow, I couldn't wait to see that. You've got Birdvox, which has got some of
Yes.
my favorite musicians collaborating, and that's a new band, Inga Thompson, Charlotte Printer, Jenny Sturgeon, and Sarah Hayes, who come from all over. Different backgrounds, not just traditional. You've got kind of indie music and other things there as well, and that would be fantastic.
Yeah,
And you've
they're
also
from
got,
a gig, I think, as well as that band.
right.
So we're quite keen to take the odd risk here and there. And
Yeah, it's
just
very
we
exciting.
like to be in at the beginning. You know, in 2019 we had Lancôme opening the Tradfest, and of course they played at the International Festival last year, and we first had them playing, well, here
Here
in
in the
this
house.
house in 2015. So
Wow.
we like to see people early and get behind them. We've got some other kind of reasonably new acts, or certainly new to hear. I mean, Frankie Archer, who's actually only been playing music for as the kind of act that she does now with all the electronics for 3 years. She's already been on Jules Holland and won various awards, and she's a really fascinating artist. She came with me a couple of weeks ago to the City of Edinburgh Music School to do a workshop where she was showing the kids what they could do with the electronics and how they could put any kind of instrument they like through a pedal board, and it was really fantastic. And it's really an amazing achievement that she has got to such a stage in such a short time. If you're talking about, Douglas mentioned the diversity of the age diversity is one of the things we really try to go for. So our youngest performer will be probably 13. So
Right.
we've got the Edinburgh Youth Gathering band. So the youth gathering is on all weekends, so it's for kids aged 13 to 18. And they'll play supporting our special commission, which this year is all about Edinburgh. So it'll be tunes and songs written about or inspired by Edinburgh, and that's on Monday the 6th of May. And our oldest performer will be on the 12th of May, which will be Archie Fisher, who is giving our Rebellious Truth Talk and will be playing some songs. And he's looking back at a 7-decade career at the age of 84.
That's fantastic.
But
And
you were going to say what else jumped out at you apart from
well,
Edinburgh?
yes, but the talk as well jumped out at me because that's at University of Edinburgh, is that right? So it's a kind of part talk, part performance. Is that how it's going to balance out?
Yeah, and that's the only that will actually be live streamed. That's the only thing that we live stream. And so people will be able to watch that wherever they are. And it's absolutely free to attend or to watch online. And there'll be a link on YouTube for that.
And talking about young musicians who are really beginning to make their mark, Evie Waddell is another one who, I think a young musician of the year, or at least in the running for that.
Within the final, and actually when we did the Soundhouse Spotlight video concerts, we did a couple of those were for young musicians. One was for young folk musicians and one was for young jazz musicians. And she was one of the young folk musicians that we filmed in early 2021. And so we're delighted to see how far she's come. And yeah, she's got her own gig. So I'm very excited about that. And she's also doing a workshop, which looks incredible, which is about learning to sing Scots and Gaelic songs, but also to learn how to do a little bit of sign language.
But it's really interesting, I think, because just some of the musicians you've mentioned there, Oh Triptych was the other one I wanted to mention, because that's a fantastic collection of musicians as well. There's almost, it seems to me, looking from the outside with traditional music, it's in such a healthy state because there's lots of young musicians and they're doing different things like bringing in electronic side of music, perhaps. Collaborating with musicians from other genres as well. It's a really kind of exciting time.
Yeah,
Yeah,
absolutely.
most certainly. Well, Triptych were, of course, they came out of Moishe's Bagel, who were one of our favourite bands to put on. And kind of, they said when they sort of went their separate ways that they were going to put something else together. And it just wasn't happening, So it was kind of last festival. Last Edinburgh Festival, we suddenly found ourselves with a gigantic venue in our hands at the 11th hour, the Rose Theatre, which was like 3 weeks before the festival, and I had to sit down and book 48 acts over 2 weeks. And one of the things that sprung to mind was the fact that Mario, Phil, and Greg hadn't really done anything post Moishe's Bagel. So that was me basically sort of getting in touch with them all individually and, say, look, why don't you do something, So it put the pressure on them a bit. And unfortunately, I couldn't get to the gig. I was off in Holland at the end of the festival. But by all accounts, it went down a storm. I mean, how could it be anything else with Phil Alexander, Greg Lawson, and Mario Caribbean? So that's something I'm definitely looking forward to because I've never seen them play as a trio other than our press launch. They played briefly.
And by putting them in Tradfest, we had to then force them to get a name because they didn't have a name and they were fighting over it and couldn't agree. And I said, well, I've got a poster. I have to put your name on the poster. So you've got like 2 days. Give me the name. So that concentrated them. And I think the name they've come up with is pretty good.
I think it works a treat, absolutely. And you mentioned that Evie Waddell's doing a workshop, and there are other workshops. Am I right thinking Karine Pollock's doing one?
Yes. So, talking about the City of Edinburgh Music School, basically, Corinne did the workshop for them 2 years ago, and she did an incredible workshop about songwriting for the kids at the music school. And so, I thought, God, it'd be really great if she would do that for our adults this time. So, I twisted her arm, and she said yes. So, very excited about that. But I mean, the other workshops are also amazing. I said, Evie, we have traditional songs from Zimbabwe. Bruce Nkube is someone that we actually met. My mum was going to one of his workshops and dragged us along
In Helensburgh.
where she lives. And so I thought, God, this guy's amazing. We should try and get him. So it worked out this time. So he's coming up from Birmingham to do that. And I'm getting, some good interest from people that are already in choirs, but you don't have to be in a choir to come. And he's quite incredible. He'll take, doesn't matter who you are, he teaches you to sing in a language that's not your own in up to 4 or 5 part harmony. And yeah, he's a wizard. It's really unbelievable.
It kind of emphasizes that although this is Edinburgh Tradfest, we've mentioned from people coming from different parts of Scotland, so it's national, but it's also international in its scope. And I think that really comes through in the film side of things. There's a lot of films which are coming from overseas.
Absolutely, yeah. There's like Finnish films and whatever else, yeah, and in there. Yeah, so we very much wanted to broaden things out, both in terms of having a broad definition of the genre, trad music, but also in terms of trying not to be too insular. It's you really have to. I mean, Scottish music has gone off to the world. A lot of the Appalachian music and so forth is very much influenced by it. So it should be a two-way process. It should work both ways.
Yeah, no, that kind of, I think the idea of traditional music in particular is a conversation that's kind of constantly being had and changing and influenced with people moving around the place.
For
For
yes,
sure.
absolutely.
And
Yeah,
it's.
so it's great to have like Lena coming from Sweden, Lena Johnson, and various other musicians coming in from different parts.
The Fretless are in the what we call the Shetlag spot this year,
Right.
which basically they play the Shetland Folk Festival. They enjoy the last night party. They get on the boat overnight and then they get the train from Aberdeen and then they play at Traverse. So
So
far, we had Hakon String Band endured it last year, and before that was Frigg from Finland, who took it in their stride. So we're hoping that the Canadians will be every bit as hardy. We're looking forward to see them again. They actually played in 2019, so we've seen them before and they're amazing.
that's a well-known musical journey, is it, from Shetland down to Edinburgh? That sounds
Yeah, so
fantastic.
we collaborate with Shetland every year to try and give some overseas musicians more than one gig, and actually also with Baltimore Fiddle Fair, which is on our last weekend, so Lena Johnson and Brittany Haas are going off to Baltimore after playing with us, and I think Laura Wilkie and Ian Carr are coming from Baltimore, so we're kind of a
That's Baltimore, Ireland.
Baltimore in Ireland. Yeah.
Could you clarify that? Because I was saying that's quite a trek, but it's still quite a trek anyway. And
It'll
you
be
mentioned the Edinburgh Youth Gathering, which is something I didn't know about, and that's kind of in conjunction with the William Grant Foundation, is that right?
Yeah, so they actually get funding separately from William Grant for that. So we are sponsored by them, and so are they. It was something that started many, many years ago, actually, which they brought back. We were looking for a partner to do children's workshops, and we tried one organisation which would be nameless, who didn't seem to be interested at all in the fact that we would give them world-class musicians to tutor their pupils. But we work with the City of Edinburgh Music School, as I said, but we now go there in March because they're, if we do it in May, which we did the first time, it was difficult because they were all doing exams. But yeah, the Youth Gathering, which is run with Hands Up for Trad, who are another kind of partner, and they come to the Traverse. So it's great to have all the kids about the place, and then they all perform on the Monday night after the long weekend.
I think listeners will be beginning to know that there is a lot going on over the terms of the
It's
festival.
tons.
How have you approached putting it together? Because, as I say, there's so many aspects of it. There's an exhibition as well called Fishing, which I noticed. There's just, is it, do you begin with the music and then
Yeah,
work from there? Is that how it works?
we only program the music in the music workshops.
Right.
So we, as I say, we work with trusted partners, so Tracks slash the Storytelling Centre. They program their own stuff, so the exhibition is going to be at Storytelling Centre, so that's their thing. And then for Folk Film Gathering, that's Transgressive North who do that, and so they program that, and they've been doing that for years, and they really know what they're doing. And the only thing that is bad about this Folk Film Gathering being during Tradfest is that we can't really go to any of the Lemon films, and they all look great because we will be at gigs. I think there's one. I've identified one, I think, that I can go to, which is Earth at Cameo on the 11th of May, which looks incredible. It's a silent film and a new score, played live. It looks absolutely brilliant. It's Luke Sutherland and the other musician's name is escaping me at them, but that will be absolutely brilliant.
Yeah,
So
Luke Sutherland's a very special
that cuts
musician.
down our workload, but yeah, it's still a lot of gigs. We're still booking. I think we have how many gigs do we actually have? Douglas, 18, 20,
20, I think.
22, I think.
Is it 22?
Yeah, 22 gigs, which is done by it's a combination of we have also have a there's a third programmer that we work with, who's a lot younger than us, who's great at picking out all the young and up and coming bands. But we've been putting on gigs for long enough to a lot of the people that get in touch asking for a gig, for example, we know them, we've seen them, we know what, you know, it's, and if we haven't seen them, we'll go and see them. So Frankie Archer is a case in point. I got a message from her agent, and so I saw she was playing in Newcastle, so I went to see her. Basically, I mean, that's the best way if you can possibly see them. So I would think there's probably nobody that either Douglas, myself, or Laura, the third programmer, hasn't seen. One of the Claire Sands, who's a very interesting musician from Ireland, Douglas saw at Womex a couple of years ago. So we draw people in like that as well.
So I mean, it does sound like you've managed to turn your absolute passion into, thrown it into this festival and also the Soundhouse organisation, and maybe tell us a little bit about that if you could.
Yeah, well, the sound, it sort of came about because I was doing concerts here in the house. This is where I live. You probably see it's quite a big room.
Right. So
Yeah,
you're
if I
doing
spin
house
it around.
concerts.
Yeah, so yeah, it's a big space. It's an old co-op grocer shop.
Ah, wow.
So it did originally have a grotty basement, a damp grotty basement, which wasn't used for, much use for anything else except putting some musicians down there, So it was a pre-rehearsal space for Sugar Nifty and Salsa Celtica and various other bands. I don't know how many others were down there. Dean Owens was one of the first
All
with
right.
Kid McGuire and so forth. Anyway, dozens of musicians used that basement space as a rehearsal. And then I got the place sort of semi-converted into a house. So the rehearsal space was gone, but there was this big room upstairs. And Dean did the first and second gigs here. I just invited him to do a house concert. It's your space. You charge what you like. Take all the money. So then the word spread to the rest of Britain, and then all sorts of people. Guitarists would phone me from California, or Foghorn String Band would want to come and play at the house. And the word spread about it. We had Michelle Schacht here for 2 nights.
Wow.
Our only Scottish dates were 2 nights in this room, my living room.
Amazing.
Michael Mara, one of his last gigs, was here.
Wow.
All manner of people. Martin Simpson's played here, and Bruce Molsky, and God knows how many.
Eliza Carthy.
Eliza Carthy, Martin Carthy, you name it, Andy Irvine. They've all
Hello.
played in this living room. Yeah. So, but it sort of we sort of plodded away like that for a while, and it became very apparent that Edinburgh was desperately short of venues for people to play, of smaller venues. Fine if you can build the Playhouse or the Usher Hall, or even the Queen's Hall is still sizable, but it's that sort of three, sort of 100 to 300 size that Edinburgh just doesn't have.
Yeah.
So I was getting up to 80 in here seated for the concerts.
Wow.
It became sort of apparent really that we more needed to be done than we could do here. Could do only so many concerts. I've got neighbours all around, and we have to live here as well. At one point, there was 16 concerts a month for 3 months in this room, so
Oh my
we didn't
goodness.
have a life at
Too
all.
much.
We didn't have a life. We didn't bother. There were rows of seats here permanently in the living room. They couldn't move. So that was crazy. So that was part of the reason for setting up Soundhouse as a charity.
Yeah.
And that then enabled us also to use slightly bigger spaces, over the years, predominantly the Traverse Theatre, 150 capacity in the bar, up to 220 in the main space. So it allowed us to use slightly, bigger spaces, but it also meant that we could advertise. Concerts here had to be below the radar, for fear of falling foul of authorities, which happened for 2 years with Edinburgh Council. While still keeping on a sort of limited number of gigs here at the house, the Soundhouse allowed us to expand the thing and things like apply for funding, just so that we could ensure that the musicians got paid well and that sound engineers were paid well and so forth. But that's where the funding goes, So that was where Soundhouse came from. Very much got our spiritual home as the Traverse Theatre in Edinburgh,
Yeah.
which I think we mutually benefit. There, the Traverse loves having music into the theatre and the nature of the Traverse. Anyone listening, that's they have lovely spaces with beautiful acoustics and good lighting rigs. And the nature of theatre is that a show might run for 3 days, and there might be a dead space of 2 or 3 days in a lovely room before the next, company comes in to set up and so forth. So what we've done is we've filled a lot of the little gaps in the Traverses program and got people into the building, spending money at the bar,
Yeah.
whatever, giving extra shifts for the workforce and so forth. And yeah, bringing new blood into the theatre. We can pick up a program and might come and see a play as well,
Yeah.
so it works for all of us. Works really well for all of us.
It's really interesting, I think, to think that Edinburgh maybe doesn't have those size of spaces when you consider what happens in August when there's every space seems to be filled. But then
Yeah.
thinking about that is it's rooms, isn't it? It's people's front rooms, it's top decks of buses, it's not necessarily a space that's there for music.
Yeah, that, and we can't really put on, normally it was unusual last year that we were offered an empty building a couple of weeks before the Fringe, but most of the spaces we use are rammed for the festival.
Yeah.
There's big London companies come in, Assembly, Underbelly, Pleasance,
Yeah.
and just snap up all the prime venues, the big commercial outfits. We can't compete either with the kind of money they can spend or, the weight that they carry. So that's the tragedy, really, is that the festival's a couple of things. One, it kind of culture washes Edinburgh a bit. If the scene is pretty trashy, the rest of the year round, oh, there's always the festival, and Edinburgh's seen as a
Yeah.
big cultural city. 3 weeks of the year, it is a big cultural city. The other 50, it's sadly lacking. It really needs more attention paid to the music scene, certainly.
Yeah, and that's it's a really interesting point. And we should remind people where they can find out again about the festival and where they can get tickets.
Yeah, so just edinburghtradfest.com. You just need to click on the schedule. And each individual show will link you into the box office. So, as I said, as Douglas said before, most of our program is in the Traverse Theatre, so they can walk in there and buy tickets if they want to. I believe you can do the same at the Queen's Hall and at the Assembly Rooms. So, closing and opening, and the Storytelling Centre obviously have their own tickets, as does the Cameo. So, a lot. Pretty much all the films, not completely all of them, but most of them are at the Cameo Cinema, so people could get their tickets for the films there. Shows at the Traverse, Storytelling Centre, Queen's Hall, Assembly Rooms.
And it's a bit of a cliche to say there's something for everyone, but as I was going through the program thinking, there really is something for everyone.
Sure.
Partly because of that kind of diverse and collaborative nature with other people in Edinburgh.
For sure.
Yeah, try and keep it wide open.
I think the music, I mean, traditional music isn't a very, it isn't a narrow genre. I mean, I don't know if it wasn't, but certainly now it's not. I mean, look at Norman Wilmore and Corey Dick. I mean, they're known as jazz musicians, but Norman has this incredible heritage of being from Shetland and being absolutely soaked in the traditional music there and putting his own take on it, and that'd be an absolutely fascinating gig. We saw them do a little bit of this at a gig we had last year, and we thought, yeah, we've got to get some of that.
Likewise, triptych, they're sort of steeped in classical or klezmer or jazz, and together they've put something together that's quite unique.
I think Scottish music in general at the moment is doing, having these kind of collaborations across genres and experimentation, but also there's a place, I think, for everyone, which I'm not sure there always was, which is a really exciting thing.
Yeah, no,
Yeah,
it's
I think, yeah.
Very much like that. I think the people do work across genres in Scotland more so than I've seen anywhere else. I mean, Fergus MacCready, phenomenal jazz musician, plays with Juliette Lemoine. Look at Sua Lee, who plays, with the Scottish Chamber Orchestra, but also she plays with Mr. McFall's Chamber, whose repertoire could include Jimi Hendrix. She'll also play with Hidden Orchestra as a sort of guest, as of electronic kind of music. I think that's just a really healthy thing, that people do that. It benefits all their own kind of skills as well, to have that kind of wide scope and different experience. And it certainly benefits us because really exciting music comes out of it.
And I
Well,
think
I think that absolutely shines in the program for this year's Tradfest. Really exciting. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me. It's been an absolute pleasure.
no bother at all. It's a pleasure on our end as well.
And all the very best for the festival when it comes.
Thank you so much. Are you going to come?
I'm going to try my best to come through, definitely. There's a few things I really want to see. And we'll be back soon with someone completely different. Cheers.